Welcome the new mind.
Young'un's Podcast. Previously on the Young'un's Podcast.
There will be songs of a sexually violent nature, but and harmonies that certain people will find offensive.
Oh, we stayed in this haunted house. In the basement, there was a curry restaurant. The place was, like, covered in, like, dust and, like, maggots, I think, and it was all manky and smelly and smelled of damp, and the waiter was foul.
I thought, what have you got to do? That's why I pulled a Morris dancer.
Oh yes, memories of former Young'un's Podcast glories there. I'm sure you remember where you all were when you first heard those clips. So many memories, and I think it's nice just to look back, as we do at the start of some Young'un's Podcasts, with that previously on the Young'un's Podcast feature there. But I mean, what it probably does is just confuses those people who haven't heard the Young'un's Podcast before, and they think, what the heck's going on here? And they get very confused at the start with all the random clips, and then they turn off. But I don't think there's any chance of people turning off this week, especially if they've read the podcast introduction, because this week's Young'un's Podcast goes by the name of James Fagan's Talking Bollocks. Yes, James Fagan will be appearing on this week's Young'un's Podcast on the phone. He won't be talking about Greek salad. We covered that on Folk and Focus a couple of weeks ago. We won't be talking about Greek salad. He'll be talking about a much more important subject. He'll be talking all about the testicles. James Fagan, the renowned folk performer and qualified medical doctor, will be talking bollocks on this week's Young'un's Podcast. We'll explain more about that feature later, but it's not all about testicles on this week's Young'un's Podcast. No, believe it or not, there are other items as well. Our gig clips this week will all be coming from Bamfest in Beedale in Teesside, which we did a couple of weeks ago, and it was a rather odd and surreal couple of gigs that we did at Bamfest. We did a gig at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and the audience, even then, were very drunk. But it was even more surreal at our evening gig at 10 o'clock in the evening, when the audience were 10 times more drunk. And our musical offering today, just the one musical offering, and that comes from ourselves, the Young'uns. And it's a request, a rather unusual request, that the people of Bamfest gave us. They insisted that we did it. They wouldn't let us go home before we did it, and we'll reveal what that is a bit later on. Can you identify the folk song from the food-based lyrical clues? Find out as we play the folked-up folk song later on. It's to Bamfest we go now. This is just a quick clip from our afternoon gig that we did at 3 o'clock, before the mayhem fully started.
Here we go. Can I have that again?
Is that right?
I mean, if you really want it again. There we go. He just enjoys me giving him the key. He gets some very odd pleasure from it. Give me an F sharp again, David.
It's been a long couple of weeks. We've been on the road most of May, and we must have had about 20 concerts and stayed over 20 different places, and it, more than half of them we had to share a bed.
All three of us. For half the time we had to, for a quarter of the time we just decided to do it. Old habits die hard, don't they?
Very difficult to get out of that habit.
Give him the key again, Dave.
Okay.
So that was a clip taken from Bamfest in Beedale, Teesside, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. As I say, the audience were already drunk, and we had a group of people who came up to us and harassed us for quite a while, because they knew that we were from Hartlepool, and they wanted to know whether we would sing the Hartlepool Monkey song. This is a song all about the legend of the Hartlepool Monkey. The people of Hartlepool once mistook a monkey for a French spy, and they put it on trial, and they hung it. Now, we don't really sing this song. We know it, but we don't really sing it. But they were very drunk and very persistent, and it was clear that they were going to heckle all the way through the gig, unless we did the Hartlepool Monkeys song. Anyway, the afternoon gig came, and we were just about to sing our song One December Morn, about the bombardment of Hartlepool in the First World War in 1914, in which there were a number of casualties and deaths. But the people who'd requested the Monkeys song were obviously very drunk, had obviously heard the words Hartlepool, and then started gearing themselves up for this hilarious song. So while Sean's explaining about the bombardment of Hartlepool and all these people dying, they're not really listening, they just heard Hartlepool, and so they've started wetting themselves laughing in anticipation for what's about to come. And everyone else in the audience is sort of looking about going, what the heck are they doing? Why are these people laughing? This is from the afternoon concert, and as I say, just imagine if they're this drunk now, wait until you hear what it was like in the evening concert. But right now, to the afternoon gig at Bamfest. Well, we're trying to be serious, but it's not really working.
Oh, thank you very much. If you've seen us before, you know we're not very good at talking in between the songs, so we'll just move straight on.
Straight on. This is a rarity for us, actually, isn't it?
It's the first time we've ever done that song.
Actually, two songs back to back. Yeah, we're ruining it now, though, aren't we?
We've talked for 20 minutes now.
Yeah, exactly. Did you think it was good, Michael, when we just did that? We don't talk.
A song that commemorates something really important that happened in Hartlepool 100 years ago. You're all aware, of course, of this enormous centenary that's quickly approaching the start of the 100th anniversary of the start of the First World War. And up in Hartlepool, it's going to be really poignant because...
People are waiting for the joke, aren't they? You're going to be disappointed here. We're
trying to be serious here.
No, yeah, because... Oh, sing the song. Yeah.
A lot of people died, basically.
on one December morn, on one December morn. Thank you very much. Yeah, the bombardment of Hartlepool 1914. And I've realised why some of you were wetting yourselves laughing at the beginning there, because I think a few people asked if we could sing the Hartlepool Monkeys song. Yeah! Is that why? And so then...
By the way, I didn't even know someone had asked for this, but I've got to guess it was you five.
So
it's quite funny, though, that we said it happened in Hartlepool, and you all started laughing. But even though we said, how many people had died, we said there was the bombardment of Hartlepool, you still started laughing. You still thought it was going to... Oh, maybe if we're lucky, it will be. Just a little bit of a twist in the tale. Yeah, 100 children died. No. It's taking an interesting twist, this story, but it's getting there.
Hartlepool Monkey!
Well, maybe right at the end of the gig.
Should we do it now?
Do it now.
Should we do it right at the end? There's no coming back once we've done the Hartlepool Monkey, so I think we've got to... I think we've got to end with it.
Well,
there's an angle, because as soon as we do the song, you're going to bugger off, aren't you? So, let's do it at the end and keep them there. Keep them clean. Well, even though you're going to get it anyway, aren't you? So why does it matter? Just be quiet. Right, okay. If you're good, we'll do the song at the end for you, all right? There we are.
So, children's show.
You'll string us up like a monkey. Is that a euphemism?
I might. Sydney was that type of festival.
Yeah, exactly. I'll put you on our ride next year, love. Right.
We'll do it right at the end.
Yes, this is a song about love in Sunderland.
There you go.
I bet you are, miss.
I tell you what, come and see us afterwards, we'll tell you all the hotspots. There's a lovely car park I think you'll like. That's about on your street, isn't it?
Needless to say, we didn't try any more ballads about death in front of that crowd. And as a special treat to you as well, listeners, we'll also play the monkey song, the Hartlepool monkey song. But not before James Fagan's Talking Bollocks, which we'll do in the next minute. But first, it's time for the Forked Up Folk Song. Can you identify the folk song from the food-based lyrical clues? So, as an example, on last week's Young Uns podcast, I gave you the following to ponder. Sandwich gourmet feta. Gourmet feta coleslaw. Ribeye place. Per pavlova. Dough feta coleslaw. I'll do that again. Sandwich gourmet feta. Gourmet feta coleslaw. Ribeye place. Per pavlova. Dough feta coleslaw. So that would be the Wild Rover. And it's noni never no more. Sounds a bit like sandwich gourmet feta coleslaw. You see? And then will I play the Wild Rover? No never no more. Sounds like ribeye place per pavlova. Dough feta coleslaw. You see? Self-explanatory, I think, really. So it's time to play the Forked Up Folk Song, where we head to our singing weekend that we did in November in Kendal. Where we did this quiz. It's time for this week's Forked Up Folk Song.
Hi, Per, Dill, Ham, Walkers, Boar, Collie Kebabs, Raw Feta, Slaw. Pie, Per, Dill, Ham, Walkers, as in the crisps, Boar, Collie Kebabs, Raw Feta, Slaw.
So there we are. Can you identify what song that is? It's a folk song. We'll recap it again a little bit later on in the podcast, and then we shall reveal the answer at the end of the podcast. But right now, it's time for our new feature to the Young'uns podcast. We're very excited to bring this. It's James Fagan's Talking Bollocks. And we'll find out what it's all about, and we'll get our first bollocks-related nugget from James Fagan, who we join on the phone right now.
Mr. Eagle.
Mr. James Fagan, I hope you don't feel I'm taking a liberty here by calling you 2 minutes early.
I don't at all. It gives me a chance to go upstairs away from the screaming children. Nan!
Dave's on the phone.
Out of interest, James, is Nancy aware of this, well, I was going to say seminal moment in your career, but that perhaps is a, a wrong choice of words, given what we're doing. Is she aware of this, James? Have you talked it through? Did you say, is this good for my reputation? Have you had that discussion with her yet?
No.
No. Excellent. Well, I mean, this could ruin the marriage, James, once she finds out. Okay, then. Well, we kind of briefly on the podcast explained what this is about, but I think it came about basically, James, when we were having a conversation last time when you were on the podcast about the fact that you were a medical doctor and that you had an immense sort of maze, I suppose, of just facts sort of clogging up your head related to when you were studying to be a medical doctor. Just random Latin words, different terminologies, interesting
Indeed.
Medical facts, that kind
a
of thing.
A head full of bollocks, you might say.
Exactly, which is quite an apt phrase to use, because it then came onto the fact that I said to you, I think in the pub once, let's have a medical fact then, James.
Excellent.
Sort of an interesting medical fact. And then you told me a fact about the testicles.
Yeah.
And I said, that's the kind of fact we could do a feature on the podcast, James, where on a semi-regular basis, you come on and disperse a medical fact. And you,
okay.
But at first, you said, "What? Do you want a medical fact, David, or do you just want a fact about the testicles?" And I said, "Well, I don't know how many facts about the testicles you've got, James." And you said, "David, I could talk to you about testicles all day, mate." So, with that in mind, you've risen to the challenge. It's time for our feature, James Fagan Talks Bollocks, where on a semi-regular basis, you will regale the podcast listenership with a fact about the testicles. So, James, talk bollocks to me, my friends. What is your first bollocks-related fact?
Well, I think my first bollocks-related fact is probably my favourite, which is that the man who invented the procedure, the vasectomy, performed the first vasectomy on himself. Now, I just think that that is mind-boggling. Needless to say, it was under local anaesthetic because general anaesthetic wouldn't really work in that context, shall we say. Put yourself to sleep, well, then try cutting your scrotal sac open and, you know, it's just a disaster. Local anaesthetic, at least you still retain basic functions, which you'd need, I think, to slice open your own scrotum. May I just say on the subject of that, I think the scrotum is an awfully named organ. I think for something that is, you know, so hidden away generally, and I think that's probably a good thing, I think that it could have a better name, just so that when it does make its appearance, it's not so vilified. Am I the only person who thinks this?
Well, what would you... Have you got a name that you would rather use, James, maybe?
Just maybe... Velvet pouch or something. Velvet just something pouch. A bit more romantic.
Okay, well, maybe we could put that to the listeners. They could, their alternative names for scrotums, and then you could be the adjudicator there, James.
I would love to judge that competition.
Excellent.
Although, may I stress that that is only in a kind of a sense of judging words.
Yes, yeah. This is not nothing. An invitation now for people to get their scrotums, to take photos of scrotums and send
not
it to James Vega.
I think that would take the Young'uns podcast into a territory which even at cutting edge as it is could end in tears. So let's just keep it in a kind of a literary form. But I would happily judge that competition because I for one, it's not that I'm uncomfortable either with the part itself or generally nomenclature, but I do think scrotum is unfortunate.
What happens to the man then who tried to do this vasectomy?
Well, he succeeded. I mean, he didn't try to do it. He knew what he was doing. He knew that the vas deferens was the
it's not something you just fiddle around with, is it, really? You've got to be pretty sure before you start, actually. I think I'll just give this a whirl. I've got a Sunday free. Why not?
To be honest, I'd rather cut the red wire on a bomb than cut my own vas deferens without even knowing which wire to cut on a bomb. I mean, it's some serious territory you're talking about.
Yeah.
This guy obviously knew his anatomy well, and he must have been pretty calm under pressure to go into the area and decide that the particular tube that he was cutting wasn't either the artery, any of the crucial nerves.
Oh, this is
when
quite...
You think it's pretty amazing, isn't it, really?
It was sort of meant to be a light feature, but I'm doubled over in agony here.
A light feature interviewing a doctor about the testicular area. You want a light feature on the testicles? Talk to a comedian.
Excellent, James. Well, what a load of bollocks, just James Fagan. That's kind of like the catchphrase there, which is kind of mildly amusing at the start, but as the weeks progress, James, it will get funnier and funnier. It'll become the catchphrase, I think.
Excellent.
And I should point out to listeners who maybe were a little bit worried at the start, this is James Fagan's talking bollocks, as in James Fagan is talking bollocks, rather than the apostrophe being the possessive. Because that would be quite impressive, wouldn't it? Come and roll up, James Fagan's talking bollocks. Well, you never know, James. Genetic modification, they can do anything nowadays. Excellent. speak to you soon, Mr.
All right,
Fagan.
Mate, take care.
All right.
Bye.
I imagine the man who was doing his own vasectomy was in quite a bit of pain, certainly discomfort, and he was probably at times going, ooh, 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 which is my very clever way of subtly linking that to the fact that, following on from James Fagan's talking bollocks, we now head to The Monkey Song, as performed at this afternoon concert at Bamfest. In front of a very drunk and insistent audience.
I think we've got time for just one more song this afternoon.
So yeah, in Hartlepool, in 1872, 1,000 starving children perish. No, we'll do the Monkey Song.
We're gonna be back here tonight at 9:30.
Are you gonna come and see us tonight? Are you gonna come
and join? We'll tell you a funny story about a gorilla in Stockton.
So thank you very much. If you'd like to buy one of our really new CDs, we're just gonna be outside.
No.
We've never sang it before.
Thank you. Hartlepool about the time in France. The Emperor Napoleon was leading us a dance. When sailing up the coast came a British man of war, and the captain's pet monkey was washed up on the shore.
Old folks, young folks, everyone in each come to see the French English landed on the beach. He's got long arms and great long hair, he's covered all in hair. We think that he's a spy, so we'll hang him in the square.
The Lord Mayor of Hartlepool was walking on the shore. He came across this funny sight he'd never seen before. When he saw this little fella, he was sitting on the sand, holding a banana in his tiny hairy hand.
Old folks, young folks, everyone in each banana, come and see the Frenchie, he's landed on the beach. He's got long arms, a great long hair, he's got it all in hand. We think that he's a spy, so we'll hang him in the square.
I fetched the town clerk who headed to the shore. He saw this little man where he'd been before. Now a crowd had gathered round because it was the funniest sight since the timber yard had burnt down the previous Friday night.
Old folks, young folks, everyone in each come and see the French is landed on the beach. He's got long arms, a great long hair, he's covered all in hair. We think that he's a spy.
Well, Constable Parsons appeared upon the scene. He whipped out his notepad, he licked his pencil clean, and he said, causing a disturbance is a serious offence, and anything you say will be used as evidence.
Oh!
The little man spoke, a funny thing was heard. For Constable Parsons couldn't understand the words, and the reason for his puzzlement the clerk could plainly see. Why, the little man's a foreigner from far across the sea.
He's a spy, so we'll hang him in the square.
The little man's a spy, the angry crowd did roar. Sent by Napoleon to our native shore. So they grabbed that little fella by his long and hairy tail and gave him to the constable who threw him in the jail.
Old folks, young folks, everyone in each come and see the French is landed on the beach. He's got the hands of great mountains, covered all in hair. We think that he's a spy, so we're hanging in the square.
They hung that little fella from a gallows in the town. So that was when he wrote the UKIP. A rope around his neck and his tail all hanging down. We're not really a political group. A message from Napoleon.
That's why we're performing with Billy Bragg now. We're a political group, and it's because we just say little quips like that. Anyway, sorry. In fact, we're going to do this one. We're going to do Glastonbury with Billy Bragg, and we're actually going to do this. We'll do this song, shall we? Yeah! I'd love to hear him covering it. Old folks, young folks, everyone in it.
Excellent.
We're so near the end.
We are, we're so near the end. So, let's start that verse again. And this time, can we have a bit of theatre created when the man is hung? Okay, here we go.
Oh, they hung that little fella from a gallows in the town.
I tell you what, we should get an extra 200 quid for doing this.
A rope around his neck and his tail all hanging down. A message to Napoleon to make himself a room.
Not to send his airy spies to all that little room. We think that he's a spy, so we'll hang him.
Excellent. Thank you very much for seeing everyone.
So after that performance of the Hartlepool Monkey song, the crowd left the marquee to have a few more drinks. Well, quite a few more drinks, actually. And then they were joined by lots more people in the evening who had also had quite a lot to drink. It was a packed marquee full of very drunk people, and the results of that are rather ramshackle and odd, but we'll get to that very soon. But not before we recap this week's Forked Up Folk Song. Can you identify this folk song from the food-based lyrical clues? What is the folk song?
Pie, pear, dill.
Oh, God.
Ham, Walker's, boar. Collie, kebabs, raw feta, slaw. Pie, pear, dill, ham, Walker's, boar. Collie, kebabs, raw feta, slaw.
You sound like John Cooper.
We shall reveal the answer at the end of this week's Young'uns podcast. So, you've heard the clips from the afternoon's concert at Bamfest. It's now time to go to the evening. It was quite surreal before we even came on the stage. So, at about 10 o'clock, which is the time we were meant to go on. Bearing in mind, this is a Sunday night as well. It's not even like it's a Friday or a Saturday night. This is a Sunday night. But before we went on, one of the organisers, Paul, said, I'm just going to say a few words, you know, just to thank people, because we were the last on. Jez Lowe was on before us, and then we were headlining. Absolutely fine, we thought. You know, it'll take about a minute or something like that. So we're waiting behind the curtain, backstage, ready to go on. I've got my bottles in my hands, I've got the recorder, we're ready. I'm giving Sean the key. Well, these speeches went on for absolutely ages. It was about 20 minutes worth of speeches. Obviously, I'm not going to play the 20 minutes. I'm just going to kind of fade in and out clips from this 20 minutes. And it's from the perspective of my recorder, which is in my hand, ready to carry on stage with us so we can record the gig.
So, I would like to thank each individual member of the Bamfest committee. So, Mike Dillon.
Hook!
Mick Darling. Susie Darling. Wendy Arrowsmith. And especially Pam Knightman, who I think, I'm surprised he's got in there. Absolutely brilliant in terms of keeping us on track. This could be really embarrassing. I haven't forgotten anybody on the committee yet, though. Forgotten Carol, but we'll come to Carol in a minute. Oh, I forgot John. Oh, John, I'm sorry, mate. So Bamfest was born, and I give John a big round of applause. How embarrassing. So Bamfest was born, John and I sat in the pool.
Because he'd forgotten John, one of the organisers, he then decided, oh, well, I'll tell you what, I'll make up for it by telling an anecdote about John. So he told a 5-minute anecdote about John, about how Bamfest was set up and how they owed John all this. So he kind of, like, milked it a little bit. It was kind of like, oh, I forgot all about John, but now I'm going to make sure that John is not forgotten. I'm going to eternalise him here in a 5-minute anecdote. So we're now about 7 minutes into the speech. John has now been thanked. Everyone who organised the festival has now been thanked individually. So we think it's probably about time that we go on. So I give Sean the key again. I say, come on, lads, get the adrenaline back. I know it dissipated a little bit then during the speeches, but let's get the adrenaline back. Here we go. We're ready to go on stage. We might be ready, but Paul had other plans.
There might be a little something for Carol. Carol, so please come to the front.
But then he starts handing out gifts to various people. So not only do we have thank yous, but then he starts handing out gifts to people and come to the front of the stage, he says, and he calls all these people up to the front of the stage. And then he realises he's called about two or three people up to the stage. He may as well get the entire committee up. So then he calls for the entire committee to get on stage. So everyone traipses up onto the stage. It takes them about 2 minutes logistically to do that. And then, because they're all up on the stage, it'd be a bit ridiculous to go, oh, well, let's get them off the stage again. So because it's taken that long to get them on the stage, you think, Paul must think, oh, well, they're on the stage now. It's a bit ridiculous. I might as well say something. So then he thanks everyone individually again and tells them to take a bow. So that takes another 5 minutes.
Is that a whole committee coming up? I think the whole committee should come to the front as well. Mick, Susie, Wendy, I want you to come to the front as well. Mike, if you're around, the rest of you. Yeah, give them a massive round of applause. They've done a fantastic job. It's been a brilliant weekend. Now, come to the front, guys. Come to the front and take a bow.
Look at this overall.
Yeah, you can get on the stage you paid for. Yes, of course you can. So, big round of applause. Take a bow, guys. Listen, if you weren't here, it wouldn't have happened.
So finally, Paul says, that's all I've got to say. So I think, oh, brilliant, we're just about to go on. But at which point, Mick Darling, who you may remember from a few weeks ago with Mick and Susie Darling, they came on the podcast a few weeks ago and did some songs from the Headland Festival. He then grabs the microphone from Paul and says, oh, I'm just going to say a few words, Paul. And he proceeds to do some thank yous. So it goes on for another 5 minutes. And apparently me thinking, was Mick not listening earlier? Paul's done all these thank yous. He then thanks everyone individually again. So after 5 minutes of that, Mick says, right, that's all I've got to say now, I've finished. So we think, oh, brilliant, he's going to now hand back to Paul, who's going to introduce us. So come on, lads, get the adrenaline going again. Get the adrenaline back. We're going on stage. Well, not quite, because after Mick had finished, rather than passing the microphone back in the direction of Paul, he decides to pass the microphone in the opposite direction and passes it to the lady next to him. Who then, rather than going, what are you doing, Mick? No, we've done all the thanks. I mean, this has gone on for half an hour now. This is absolutely ridiculous. I'll pass it back to Paul. She thinks, oh, well, why not? In for a penny? So then she does a speech for 5 minutes.
We've worked very hard over these last few weeks, and we start to worry about how it's...
And so it goes on around the entire committee, chipping in, oh, yeah, why not? I'll say a few words. Bloody, it went on for bloody ages, another 10 minutes.
I'd just like to say how... the festival is being successful because of all of you. Everybody.
But then after all this time, the microphone is eventually handed back to Paul, and fortunately, I mean, Michael and Sean are looking comatose at this moment in time now. Will we ever get on stage? The adrenaline's completely gone. But I say, come on, get the adrenaline back, lads, because Paul has got once again got the microphone, and as he said before, he said everything he wants to say. So we now know that it's definitely over. The speeches are definitely over. So the microphone's passed back to Paul, and rather than Paul going, right, let's wrap things up and get the young'uns on, Paul then does some more thank yous. And so it goes on again.
As my friends and colleagues have said, thank you to all of you for coming.
Go on.
Just one other thing.
I don't know what's going on now. But then someone else has taken the microphone back. The woman who's already spoken then grabs the microphone and thinks, oh, I forgot, if Paul's having two shots of it, then why not me? So then she says something else.
And it's really important that we get your feedback. We know that we still have lots of things to improve. Lots and lots of things to improve.
I don't know if you heard that, but at that point, when she said, we want your feedback, someone shouted, get the young'uns on! But she wasn't listening. She was in her element. She continued to talk for another few minutes and then eventually handed the microphone back to Paul. At least, in fairness, she didn't hand it to her left and went around the entire committee again. She handed the microphone back to Paul. Now, this time, after half an hour, we're ready it's got to be our turn. So we got back to our feet again, struggled back up to our feet. We've got cramp at this point. Get the adrenaline going again, lads. We'll be on in the next minute.
It's about the music. What are we going to say about these lads?
Nothing.
The first time I booked them, it was the scene.
Ah, excellent. What can I say about these lads? When I'm thinking, please don't say anything. Just say, the young'uns, we'll do the rest. So then Paul launches into an anecdote about the first time he met us and how we've performed at various festivals for him in the past. And he was in the middle of introducing us. He was halfway through telling an anecdote about us. And then this happened.
Nothing. The first time I booked them, it was the scene. Apparently, I forgot the bar and catering staff. Sorry.
He then thanks the bar and catering staff.
You just walk on.
And then, because he felt guilty about forgetting them, like he did with Johnny, then he then went on and listed all the various foods and drinks that he'd enjoyed over the weekend. And then eventually, he gets back to introducing us. And finally, 35 minutes later or something, we eventually get on stage.
Very favourite acts. Lovely lads, all of them. The young'uns.
Oh. Hey, dear.
Hey, alright.
Hello. Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are the audience. We have a big round of applause, please, for my friend Michael Hughes here. Oh, dear. I think you probably all clapped out, literally. So we'll sing a song that's going to last for at least 5 minutes and give your hands a rest now.
Excellent.
I goes by the name.
And we're in, Jack, and finally the gig's underway, and we can sing, and we start our first song, Jack Ironside. Well, not quite, because we start Jack Ironside, and then this happens.
I goes by the name Jack Ironside.
Apparently, I forgot the bar and catering staff. Sorry.
Paul comes out again and starts thanking people. No, he doesn't really. It's absolutely fine. I was an edited clip there. I edited that together. Oh, thank you very much to all the organisers of BAMFest. Anyway, let's have some clips from this gig. It was quite a surreal gig. Lots of drunken people just sort of heckling and shouting things at us. And then to add insult to injury as well, on top of all the drunkenness and the fact that we'd gone on 35 minutes after we were meant to go on, we then started having technical problems as well.
The next song's called Waiting for the Ferry. It's a beautiful song written by Graham Miles again. Please join in with us and sing hand in hand.
We've got someone who's not a Graham Miles fan there in the audience. So. You're more of a Vin Darbutt song, are you? Fan there.
Please join in and sing with us hand in hand with Mary Ann. Waiting for the ferry.
Have a little moment yourself while Michael tunes his guitar. You'll be distressed to hear this is not on the CD. This people do ask for it, but maybe next time.
Are we ready?
Don't worry, he's in tune now. We can find.
Are we on, Jerry?
Yeah. Is he gone?
Yeah.
Otherwise, we might not be doing this song after all.
Are we doing something else?
He's coming.
Who's coming?
Is this for you?
We give a round of applause for Jerry. Yes. Yes.
That's what he wanted. He doesn't need to be on the stage. Come on, do a speech, Jerry. Come on.
What's in seven? Curious
indeed. We're all certainly very curious here, aren't we, everybody? Oh, yeah. Bit of suspense now. What will it be? Shall I play a bit of suspenseful music while we wait there? Any requests, anybody? Any requests for like theme tunes or something that you'd like? What?
Riding a bike.
Get on your bike. Riding a bike. I can't do that now, sir.
Blanker.
What?
Paloma Blanca!
Hold on, do you not speak differently down here, sir? Una Paloma Blanca? Are you insulting me in Latin, sir? What are you doing? That in rhyming slang, are you? Should we do something else? Should we do another company song?
Alright, we've done it. Right.
Ready?
Are we on?
Woo!
Music!
Yeah.
Says, is your lead alright?
I think we should do another Gummidge song at the risk of...
Okay.
Oh. That was the truly marvellous song by Graham Miles.
Did you just want to applaud like you've already heard it?
Graham, you're going
to applaud everyone. You were wonderful.
It's a way, writing, isn't it? Unbelievable there. Can we do that with a jaunt as well? We'll just lift up our hands and just laugh. You can entertain yourselves all night. We'll just send some text messages up here.
Right, okay.
Oh, hang on.
Oh, he's back.
Should we try another guitar, Lee?
Well, we could do it. I could just sing something on a gumball. What do you mean, then? Well, it's
fine, isn't
it? Well, I don't. I'm just...
guitar.
I'm just thinking it's probably a lot more entertaining. You need a toilet, feel free to go. Let's have a conversation amongst yourselves.
Well, the Lee's live.
You see, you wouldn't get this if you put Jez Law on last, would you? He's a professional. He'd know by now to quit.
Not a battery, is it?
Battery. We could spend our... Is it the battery? Is it the lead? Why don't you sing another company song, Michael? Come on, next person. Your guitar player's not that good. Here you. Gigs like this, isn't it?
Try that.
Do we have anyone who can juggle? Come on, everyone. Make your own entertainment now. Has anyone got any board games? Come on.
Come on, Jerry. He's trying his best to shout in his ear.
Well, let's all be quiet then. Let's all sit down.
It's all right. We're just waiting for your lead.
Well, it doesn't matter. We'll sing in a company. Oh, we're going to have to do the monkey song again to claw this thing back. There you go. Why on earth have you just said that, you idiot?
Well.
Anyway.
Right. Well, should we,
let's do some shanties, shall we?
Yeah.
Well, this has been...
No, I think we should do the three, because you didn't do that last time.
I think this has been described in a recent review as a prog shanty workout. So I don't know whether there are any fans of that subgenre in tonight.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, excellent. Well, this is for you.
Excellent.
I don't really know what to say. Well, don't say anything, Michael. It's about time you learned that. I've been wishing you'd learned that lesson for 10 years. And finally, so, oh, yeah.
Here we are.
Listen closer, I'll be quiet. There's a serious act now. Right. There you are. I'm joking. They can enjoy themselves if they want to. It doesn't, you know.
Here we go.
No one dies in this song. You can be happy.
I wish someone would die. Anyway, come on.
Michael, we've been dying on stage for the last 5 minutes, in case you haven't noticed. Just do the best of glory back. I might have to do my striptease if it goes on any longer. Oh, don't cheer, there's no down there. Man, you'd know, wouldn't you, Michael? It's funny, keep that kind of revelation for the book, Michael.
Anyway.
Person closer.
I'm just saying, the biggest ovation we've got all night is Davey threatening to take his clothes off. But these two drunkards on the front row going, off, come on, off. Boots and clothes are all in. It wasn't like this on the ships, was it? Boots and clothes are all in. What was the worst bit about this? I don't want to tell you this. The worst bit about that song was, you know where we go, way, and you really open your mouth really loud. Well, a moth flew in my gob.
Excellently choreographed. We're working on that one. Green room, weren't we, Sean?
So I have actually literally just... Well, it wasn't a moth, you know what I mean? It was one of these like little things. But
a fly.
A fly, So I've literally just swallowed a moth or a fly or whatever it is in the name.
Of I'll swallow a spider next. That's a fly. Let's go.
I don't know why he swallowed a fly. She'll die.
It's the microphone, sir.
Feel free.
Oh, strong.
You didn't need to say that the bar had run out, Paul. I think it's self-explanatory. Oh, yeah, really. Well, we are going to do more, don't worry. We're not just here for aesthetic values.
Before we go, can we just say, as well as the CDs we've got outside, which are at £10 each, and they're our new album, we can also, if you give us an email this, we can let you know about our exciting new venture.
Oh, yes, so we're opening a new theme park at Young'un's World. Yeah. Yeah.
No, we're not really,
Can you plug in a guitar that works? We'll use a workshop. I give up. Can you sing that's one with a moth?
No, what it is, we've started doing...
Vegetarian moth.
What? I think you need a drink, my friend.
I know that.
Well, the front row certainly enjoyed it.
If I have another, it might cancel it out.
So anyway, we've started doing these singing weekends. We've got two of them at the end of November. You go on our website or give us an email address. I'll come and have a chat with us. We'll tell you all about it. You see, what we do, we take over a big youth hostel for a weekend. You get your bed, you get all your meals, and you get a series of workshops, concerts, and loads of laughs as well. So if you want to come and spend a weekend in the woods with us.
If anybody in Bede look for spending a weekend with us. I like it. One woman got very enthusiastic when we said, and a bed. It's not just one bed. That's not part of the weekend. Although when we originally put on Facebook, who fancies a weekend in the woods with the young'uns, I think some people came along to see me and a bit disappointed, expecting a doggy weekend, I think. But I tell you what, if the demand's right for it, then, you know, we'll sell our souls. This folk music is just an aside, so it's not just moths that make them a soul. Anyway, right. Let's sing a song.
Can you just make sure that doesn't go to YouTube?
Let's sing a song.
Now listen, we've had a request for this.
Is the banana boat song?
Hey,
Dio, come, Mr. Tallyman, and all that. So we've just sung all these anti-racist songs. Now we're going to don stereotypical Jamaican accents. Just be something slightly hypocritical there. Right?
So, to join in, to make
it up, I just need to go black up.
There we go, the whole hog.
So, can we all stand up and sing this?
Yes!
Oh, yes. Good idea. On one leg.
Anyway, it's time to say goodbye, but before we do, which doesn't quite make sense because I've just said it's time to say goodbye and then I said, but before we do, but you know what I mean. Before we say goodbye, it's time for the reveal of this week's Forked Up Folk Song. I asked you to identify the folk song from the food-based lyrical clues, and you'll hear it one more time and then we shall reveal the answer.
Pie pear dill, ham walker's ball, collie kebab, broffetta slaw. Piper dill, ham walker's ball, collie kebab, broffetta slaw. Piper dill, ham walker's ball, collie kebab, broffetta slaw.
The song, of course, was Biker Hill. Biker Hill and Walker Shaw, Collier Lads forevermore. Biker Hill and Walker Shaw, Collier Lads forevermore. Pie, pear, dill, ham, Walker's boar, collie kebabs, raw feta, slaw, as in coleslaw. Thank you very much. We'll be back with lots more clips. But until then, from me, David Eagle, and on behalf of my fellow young'uns, goodbye.